Jediah or Jehiel, Joab. Ah, Joab, anybody? Brandy? But you recognize the name. Who is he associated with? Yes, David's general. Now, I did that on purpose, and I'm going to give you the answers, okay? But you have to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 27, and you'll see who these people are. I'm making a point by making you go, well, who are these people? I want to make a point. David's general was obviously a visible, very important position. The other ones, who are they? Okay, so let's look at 1 Chronicles 27, 25. And obviously, the title of this message is Taking Your Responsibilities Seriously. Every one of these men had responsibilities. 1 Chronicles 27, verse 25. And over the king's treasures was Asmaveth. There's the first guy I mentioned, the son of Adai. So he was the treasurer. That's like Bruce Ortel. Okay? He was over the storehouses, in the fields, in the cities, and in the villages, and in the castles. And that was Jehonathan, the son of Uzziah. We didn't mention him. And over them that did the work of the field for tillage of the ground was Ezri, the son of Kelub. So he's the chief farmer. Over the vineyards was Shimei, the Ramathite. Over the increase of the vineyards for the wine cellars was Zabdi, the Shifmite. And over the olive trees and over the sycamore trees that were in the low plains was Baal-Hanan, the Gittite. And over the cellars of oil was Joash. And over the heads that the herds that fed in Sharon was Shitrai, the Sharonite. And over the herds that were in the valleys was Shaphat, the son of Adlai. Over the camels was Obal. There's the Obal guy. He was the keeper of the camels. Here's the important one. Over the asses, the donkeys, was Jediah, the Meronathite. And over the flocks was Jazez, the Hagiorite. All these were the rulers of the substance, which was King David's. Now we're going to hear some names you're familiar with. Also, Jonathan, David's uncle, was a counselor, a wise man, and a scribe. And Jehiel, the son of Hachmoni, was with the king's sons. He's one of them I mentioned. He was the tutor of David's sons. Verse 33, and Ahithophel, you've heard of Ahithophel. He was the king's counselor. And Hushai the Archite, you've heard of him, was the king's companion. And after Ahithophel was Jehoiada the son of Benaiah and Abiathar, and the general of the king's army was Joab. Many had a job. Few knew anything about him. And very many times, you take on a task that nobody knows that you did, unless you did it not. What do I mean by that? It's like cleaning the restrooms. I could walk into your home, you could walk into mine, and you could not think a thing about it, about somebody had cleaned this, unless it wasn't clean. When something is not done, you notice, in some instances. But when something is done, you may not even notice. Some people will not take a job, they will not do a task unless there's limelight attached to it and there's recognition attached to it. Or they will take a duty and then not do it since, well, no one will know about it if I don't do it. You know what? The field got mowed this week. Did you notice? The lawn got mowed yesterday. Did you notice? It's kind of easy to notice that, but sometimes you don't even think about it. You just come to church and go, well, you know, coming to church. You don't even think about the fact that it takes someone to mow. It takes someone to weed. It takes someone to blow. Did you notice that there weren't grass clippings all over the front? That's because somebody had to blow them away. Somebody, you know, it's always somebody, has to do something. Someone bought $3,000 worth of sealant for the parking lot. and donated that. Somebody put up LED lights in the storage shed. Somebody fixed the fluorescent bulbs in the ladies' room. Did you notice that they were going out, ladies? Somebody fixed them. Somebody fixed the fluorescent lights in the custodial closet. See, you don't even notice that some of these things need fixing. Somebody watched your kids in the nursery or your grandkids. You know, nursery is one of those jobs that is almost thankless. That, by the way, ladies, we need your help in the nursery. Somebody went outside and fixed the sprinkler head. See, you don't even notice that the sprinkler heads got fixed. Until there's one that's blowing. Then you go, somebody needs to fix the sprinkler head. Or that sprinkler head's watering the concrete, not the grass. Did you notice that somebody fixed them? Somebody fixed and put up electrical receptacles in the storage shed. These are just a few things I've written down. Somebody washed the rags this week in their own washing machine. Somebody sprayed the weeds to kill them. Somebody pulled the weeds. Did you ever notice that nobody notices that weeds are pulled unless the weeds take over? I can go on and on and on, and you can too about your own house. But sometimes we don't realize that what is required at church is what is required at your house. That there are responsibilities that somebody, notice how many times I keep saying somebody? Somebody has to take seriously. None is less important than the other. Let me tell you something. The keeper of the donkeys was pretty important. When does it become important? When the donkeys get out. But somebody kept the donkeys. Somebody kept the camels. You say, well, Joab, he's the important. Yes, he was. But what about, what's his name? Jehiel, keeping the donkeys, or Jediah. So they're very important. We have a saying when we see something needing done. You know what that saying is? Well, that's not my job. That's not my job. Most of the things that I listed earlier are not the job of the person who ended up doing it. Somebody volunteered. Somebody said, I'll do it. And it gets done. On the custodial list, I notice which job typically does not get done. Maybe one of you could help me on that. The job that is most often neglected on the custodial list are the windows. And it's right there on the list. Even when we deep clean, people don't do it. And I think they think that somebody's not going to notice. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's going to do it. But somebody will end up doing it. And when it is, you may not even know who did it. Why? Well, you're in 1 Chronicles. Keep your finger there. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Here's why you sometimes don't notice who did it. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 1, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, and this word alms in verse 2 and in verse 3 and in verse 4 is a different word than the word alms in verse 1. In verses 2, 3, and 4, the word alms means charitable giving. In other words, something you do out of love. Notice this again in verse 2. Therefore, when you do your charitable giving, and that's not just money, folks. That's volunteering to do something out of love for the Lord, for the church, or for whatever. Do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, and that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. I wonder how many times Jediah thought of that, or Obel, or Asmaveth. These people who did those tasks that nobody ever noticed. You know, if you're a keeper of the donkeys, you need to have the attitude that's mentioned in Ecclesiastes 9:10. Here it is. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. It goes on to say, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. If you're going to do something, you've got to do it while you're alive. Here's this other verse. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to do it to the Lord, not to men. You know what? If everybody notices that this job needs to be done, and I do it while they're noticing, I'll do it. That way you get the praise of men. And you're doing it as to men and not to the Lord. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Doing our work zealously is the natural result of recognizing that my work is being done for the real master, for the Lord Jesus Christ. He always recognizes work well done. Matthew chapter 6. He will reward you openly. The apostles once asked Jesus this question. Actually, they made this statement. I shouldn't say they asked him. They made this statement. They said, increase our faith. Find that. It's Luke 17. And we'll close with this. Lord, increase our faith. And that is a curious request, because what follows doesn't seem to have anything to do with increasing their faith. So you'll see this in Luke 17 and verse 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And then he gives a parable. But I want you to go to the end of the parable. I want you to go to the application of the parable in verse 10. Here's the parable's application. So likewise ye, so here's Jesus applying, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. Here it is. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now let's look at the parable. And I'm going to start with the parable in verse 7. There's another one in 6, but I'm going to give the one in 7, 8, and 9. Which of you, having a servant, that's a slave. How many of you have a slave? I was going to say, I was going to use that one, but I figured I better not. which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come in from the field, go and sit down to eat. Now, think about this. I think of even a farmer having a hired hand. And when the guy's hired, the guy comes in from the field and the farmer, because I've worked for farmers. And I come in from the field, and you know what happens when I get back to the house? He doesn't say, now sit down to eat meat. And, he serves me, as it says in verse 8, will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward shalt thou eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. The servant is not thanked for what he's done because those are things that have been commanded him. What does this have to do with faith? You know what? If you would consider anything that needs to be done as your responsibility, not somebody's responsibility, if you would say, it's not my job. If you would rather, instead of saying it's not my job, you would say, that needs to get done. That's my duty. If we would do that, anything I do for the Lord is my duty. And that increases my faith, because a slave does not expect thanks for what he's commanded to do. How can anyone continue slaving under those kind of conditions? Never thanked, never recognized, no trophies from a word alliance for what he does. I always have to get that dig in a pole. You're never thanked, but you're never even thanked. It's my duty. That requires a lot of faith to recognize, you know what? There's one who recognizes this. Amen. And he will pay in due time. He will recognize this. Now, G. Campbell Morgan points out something that is really interesting in this passage. He says, just go back a few pages in your Bible and look up this passage. And in this case, the servant, the master, when he comes in from the field, the master doesn't say, sit down here and I'll go get your food. The master says, let me sit down. I know you've been in the field all day. Too bad, bud. Now bring me my food. Bring me my drink. And then when he's done all that, the master doesn't even thank him. Now, see what Jesus Christ is going to do for us one day. Go back to chapter 12. Luke 12. It says in verse 35, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. So here we are. We're the slaves here. Verily I say unto you, note what Jesus will do. He shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. Interesting. Jesus Christ, the greatest servant of all. And one day, folks, when we see him in heaven, he will say, now you sit down. I'm going to serve you. Can you believe that? The very thing he told them in chapter 17 they had no right to expect is the very thing he had already told them he would one day do. I close with this illustration. It was about the time that Theodore Roosevelt went to Africa to shoot big game that Dr. H.C. Morrison went on a mission trip around the world. Morrison, when he got back, said this, quote, I got back to New York about the time Roosevelt got back from Africa. There were scores of reporters there. Cameras were clicking. This is when cameras clicked. There were news flashes, but nobody noticed me. I had won a good many people to the Lord in Korea, Japan, China, India, down in Egypt, and over in Europe, but I had not killed any big game like Theodore Roosevelt had. All I had done was win some souls to Jesus. I checked through customs as quickly as possible, called my wife over the phone and said, I'm getting there ahead of time. Don't tell anybody. I want to slip up on them. I went to Pennsylvania Station, got a ticket to Kentucky, got on the train. I didn't see anybody I knew. I got down to Kentucky, stepped off the train, and not even my wife was there. The driver came down in an old rattletrap buggy to meet me. I got in the buggy and he said, Mrs. Morrison has a sick headache and could not come to meet you. So we went up the road toward home and I said, this is funny. I have preached around the world. People have been saved. I didn't kill any big game though, and nobody recognized me. He went on to say, I just kept thinking about it. Then it suddenly occurred to me, I wasn't home yet. Amen. One day, when we get home, the Lord will serve us. But now, in the meantime, are we serving him? Lord, may